Okay, this is the class of networking in single adult ministry. And I'm Dennis Frank, and we're starting our class here by looking at three types of networking. And first of all, we'll define networking, the process of discovering, initiating, and nurturing relationships with other leaders and groups. It's important that we find other leaders and groups to network with and learn from. So we're going to look today at three types of networking: personal individual networking, where you as a person find a person that you can be accountable to and vice versa. Secondly, other ministries in your area, city, state, and region. And thirdly, if you're part of a denomination, other denominational leaders, because I believe we need to educate them. So this, first of all, is looking at understanding our need for friendship and accountability. Let's look at some principle statements here. Individuals who connect is an interesting concept when used by people who share a like mind, commitment, and heart for ministry. It's a very good thing to find a person like here in this room. We have people who have like minds and hearts. We're here for the cause of single adult ministry. It's important to find someone like that and to network with them. Another statement of principle: the simple act of encouraging, equipping, and inspiring each other tends to make each of our tasks more fulfilling. Isn't it more fulfilling when you find men and women who are doing what you're doing? And you learn from them, and you inspire each other by sharing ideas. I've always wanted to network and been one to do that with other denominations, same denomination, doesn't matter. A few more statements of principle: when leaders are brought together to learn and grow, the challenge of our ministry deepens. It does. It deepens when we're learning and growing together. But unfortunately, sometimes the learning is often limited to denominational ties. That's too bad. Don't you think that single adults really don't give a rip what denomination? They don't care. They just care if you're giving them opportunities to meet friends and have relevant teaching and discussion. That's the big deal. I think when I started 29 years ago in single adult ministry in Billings, Montana, I think there was more of a loyalty to denomination and to a leader. But now people go to all different kinds of churches. They may go to two or three churches, their home church. I think there's less loyalty now than there used to be. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying it's probably a challenging, tough thing. But finding a person of another church, another leader, is important for you, is what I'm saying as we look at this first part. Jim Smoke says, there are many leaders still left in the cold, having no one with whom they can share the unique needs of young adult and single adult ministry leadership. This is a tough ministry. It's a tough... You're dealing with divorce and all the emotions and the property and the kids and the finances. You're dealing with anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. You're dealing with widowhood and grief and death. You're dealing with single parenting, raising children. You're dealing with never married people who are 25, 35, 45, wondering if they're going to get married. You're dealing with their careers, their finances, all kinds of things. It's tough ministry. We need someone, I'm saying, that you can network with who can be close to you. As spiritual people, we need spiritual friends. Too many of us try to live our Christian faith beyond the mask of a lone ranger. Spiritual lone ranger. How you doing today, Dennis? Doing fine. How you doing, Barbara? Fine. How you doing, Greg? Fine. How you doing, Lester? Fine. Sometimes we're not doing so fine.
It's okay to say that.
It's okay to say, you know, I'm struggling today. Care to pray with me about it? Well, I got to go now. So some of us don't want to take the time. And see, you and I need a close friend that we can bear our souls to. That's the first type of networking I'm talking about. We often cannot talk freely to someone about personal and spiritual matters. And this spiritual isolationism can lead to lack of maturity, accountability, and productivity. All right? Last one here. As leaders and ministers, we talk frequently about church and ministry work, but seldom discuss matters of the heart. Okay, that's the groundwork. So, what am I talking about? Let's give some practical few slides here before we stop in this section. This personal individual networking need we have. Someone to be accountable to learn from and learn with, to share ideas and pray for. Do you recognize this need, ladies and gentlemen? Do you have a person? Some of us maybe don't. that you're, or are you fearful? I don't know if I share my life with this person, are they going to reject me? You know, you have to build a trust first. Are you shy or hesitant or had a bad experience? I'm encouraging you to recognize that you have a need, so do I. Married or single, we have a need. And I think even single adults have a greater need for this, because they don't go home to a spouse.
Is it because of trust? You know, I accept what is wrong with me and I expect you to keep it between you.
Mm-hmm. Confidentiality.
Then, you know, you share the other people.
Yes, I think, Lester, you're right. Trust is a big issue. And for single adults, it's even a bigger issue because many of you have been hurt, been burned by a girlfriend, boyfriend, boss, spouse, even the Lord. You may think the Lord let you down. How could He let my spouse die? And we're angry and we don't trust God sometimes or trust people. Yeah, trust's a big issue, Lester, you're right. But I'm trying to encourage us to believe that God will help us find this person if we pray about it and we trust Him for it. Philippians 4 doesn't mean just your food and clothing. Trust God for a friend. And I'm going to show you ways to look for it. Consciously look for someone. Here's some ideas to fill this role. I believe it should be someone of the same sex, same gender. I do. Because I've seen too many women get close to a man who is an accountability partner and they share things with that man and he does with her, and one of them misunderstand and misappropriate the gestures of caring, and they think it's romantic interest. And then they're hurt. It's not romantic interest. So I'm saying, look for someone of the same sex. And besides, women understand women better, and men understand men better, usually. Someone of the approximate same age, if possible, within a few years. Someone, same or different church background, doesn't matter. Leaders in your area, you can find them if you start making phone calls. I'll show you some ways to do that. You can find them at training conferences like this. And I think you should establish a phone relationship, an in-person relationship, and express this idea. You know, if Lester and I and Greg or I lived in the same town and we started getting together as buddies, you know, eventually I may think, yeah, this guy could be a good friend of mine. And I wonder if Greg or Lester would be willing to, you know, be a partner with me, accountability partner, where we could ask each other the hard questions. I have a partner. I have a guy like this in Springfield, two of them, that I meet with. And we ask each other the hard questions, such as, Dennis, you were gone for 5 days. You were in North Carolina. How's your thought life? What did you watch on TV, Dennis? You know, Gary asks me these questions. Did you lust after a woman in your heart? He asks me these questions. See, and I answer him, and he knows if I'm lying or not, because we're close. See, we need this, guys, and ladies, you need this for other reasons too, not just this opposite sex reason, but we need this. I have two guys that are pretty close, one of them especially. So I'm saying this first networking here, we're talking about meeting regularly with a person to potentially establish a friendship with a woman, Dawn, with a man, Lester and Greg, that you can become vulnerable with, that you gradually open yourself up to. You gradually trust. You pray for each other. You pray with each other. And you ask for accountability and confidentiality. Yes. So, as we end this little section here, realize the results will equal investments of both people. Time, energy, vulnerability, friendship, sharing of ideas. The Bible says a friend loves at all times. Iron sharpens iron. Man, I learn so much from people when I listen to them. So, as we strengthen support, and you know what? It's an example to others. If you have a friend, see, what I just told you about Gary in Springfield, it's an example to you. Now, you don't know Gary yet, and some we don't know each other very well yet, but some of you have been in my classes. You know that I'm one person that believes in this. It's an example to you. And hopefully will inspire you. So, experience the privilege of prayer with each other and for each other. Did you, some of you, see when Anne Marie came in here and prayed for me last class before, or no, this morning she came in. Anne Marie works with this conference. She came in here, she prayed with me. She called me last week and prayed with me on the phone. I barely know her, but she is the prayer person for this conference. She called all the teachers, all of them, and prayed with them on the phone. Took 15 minutes with us to get to know us and prayed. Wow. That's so rare. I speak about 25 of these a year, these events at least, and I can count on one hand the people that will call. Two people probably in one year would call and pray for me for an event like this. Now we pray a little bit at the event, but before the event, wow. Someone to pray for you. Alright? Sowing the seeds of time and energy into this relationship now will reap current and future benefits of friendship, encouragement, growth, motivation. So, let me ask you, do any of you have a person like this? Anybody have a person like this right now in your life?
I do.
You do? Good. Female or male?
Female.
Good.
I had a male friend that I was very close to, but he got married, and his wife couldn't handle our relationship, so had to let it go.
Mm-hmm. What benefits do you see, Dawn, in this relationship, this friend you have, that you network with? What benefits?
The ability to get honest feedback.
Good.
Not just, you know, because you have friends that, oh, are you okay? Oh, are you okay? And this person is like, you're not okay. You know, she tells me honestly, that's not okay for you to do. You need to do this. You need to do that. But I have to be honest with her for her to be able to be honest with me like that. You know, I call if I have a problem, and she's the person that I discuss all my problems with.
Okay.
So, you know, all my friends know me differently, but she knows everything.
That's right. Thank you for those comments. I appreciate that. So this first part was just individually. I wanted to show you the benefit of it and the need for it. I hope you pursue that. Now, networking with other ministries. Let's go to this section. Understanding the benefits of networking with other ministries. I really think that the day of the Lone Ranger ministry is over, ladies and gentlemen. We need each other. Oh, I don't care if you're a ministry of 200 people every week, which probably most of you aren't. We need each other. We learn from each other. Isn't it cool what you're here and you're here at this event, you're networking with people, you're asking questions, you're rubbing shoulders, I hope you did that at lunch a little bit. Your ministry needs a larger perspective. We had 230 people a week in San Jose, California, single adults. We had five groups going a week, 230 different people, but they still needed a bigger vision, Lester. I needed to give them a bigger vision so we would network with other churches in the San Jose, California area. Several other churches. And we would do things together a couple times a year. New Year's Eve party. And they would learn from them. Give them a vision.
Do you know the parable with the corn?
No, the what?
The parable with the corn. Some fall between the...
Yes, parable.
So the network we try to accomplish here with people can be a parallel to the corn, where you come here, you're being energized, and you know you're full of it. And then after a week, what do you need to continue motivating?
That's where it's so important for you and me to... Because yes, we're going to get tired and weary, but when we get with someone else and we sense their excitement and vision and we learn from them and I get ideas, it re-energizes us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's a good example. The parable of the corn falling on the good seed, good ground, bad ground. Yes, we build relationships with other leaders and other groups. I want to show you here how to find these other groups in your area, in your state. Ask single adults in your church and out of your church. Do you know of other single adult ministries in this area? They'll know. You know why they know? Because they've already visited them. They're looking for friends. They're looking for Mr. or Miss Wright. Some of them. They will know. Ask them. Where are the groups? That's one way. Number two, ask other pastors and leaders in your area. And even out of your area. Ask ask them if they know of other churches. Don't just stay within the Baptists or the Assemblies of God, but or the Presbyterian. Look around. There's lots of churches, and you don't know if those churches have or don't have. You have to call them. I'll show you how to do that. Ask leaders in your denomination, your state office, your district regional offices, however you're broken down, if you have a denomination. We do. We have 57 districts in the U.S. North Carolina is one of them. We have a district office here in North Carolina. We have one in Missouri. We have one in Wisconsin. And so call them. This is Dennis from First Assembly. And I wonder if you know of churches in the state, in the district, that have single adult ministries. Well, let me transfer you to the CE department. So they transfer you. So what? You got to get to the right person to find out. So ask. You need to ask. Here's some other ideas. Consult the national lists, single adult lists, on our Assemblies of God website. If I haven't shown you this yet, here's your address, singles.ag.org. We have hundreds and hundreds of groups listed by state. You can go right to your state of North Carolina or wherever you're from. Anybody here from outside North Carolina? Georgia. You can go right to Georgia. Under leaders, you scroll down, click and scroll down to media downloads. There it is right there. Media downloads. And then leaders lists. See that? And you will find hundreds and hundreds of groups around the country listed for you. Now these groups, I got to tell you, 90% of them are Assemblies of God because they pay me to find these groups and work with these groups. We have probably 2,000 groups across the country. And there are two areas. There are one group is paid staff leaders. If we had internet here, I'd show you, but I don't think we do. One group is paid staff and one group is volunteer leaders. You click and you open up both lists. They're Adobe lists. Click and you open them both up. It gives you the city, the address, the church name, the phone number. It even gives you the leader's name for the staff people, the paid staff people. The volunteer list is longer, because 3/4 of leaders are volunteer. And we don't have names for the volunteers because they change too quickly. I can't keep up with 2,000 names. I can't. I've tried. Then they don't even update me anyway when they change. When Greg leaves, he doesn't call us to say, I'm leaving. I've changed. Take my name off. He doesn't do it. So there.
But when you call the church, they can give you the name.
Yes, they will. Especially if you say, I'm interested in building a single adult ministry. I just want to network and pick the brain of your leader. Yeah, they will. Yeah. But the paid staff leaders are on there. Or you can call the denominational office. You can go right to the top office. There's the numbers right there. I know these people because I've dealt with them. I get together with them. These are the churches I know of in the country, the denominations, that have an office dedicated to single adult ministries. Now, the Southern Baptists, all they have is a magazine, Christian Single it's called. Anybody get it? Yeah, you get it. I don't have any with me here, but you can order it. It's, what, 20 bucks a year, 15 bucks a year? They don't have a leadership training guy like me right now, but the other ones do. Linda, Nazarene, Wesleyan, Seventh-day Adventist. They have a national office. So call them and ask them. I'm over here in South Carolina. I'm in Georgia. Can you tell me where the groups are? See, you got to dig a little bit. You got to network is what I'm saying. Consult leaders who have an area regional impact. Here are some people I know in the country or in Canada. I've been there too several times. Who have a regional impact. And they can tell you other groups in their area, in their region. Call them. Email them. Tell them Dennis sent you to them. They know me. And ask them. They plan area-wide regional events like this. And they know leaders in other areas. So call them. Find out. Email them. Jack and Joy DeBrun, Timothy Starr, Darcy Decker. You know what I should do with that Darcy? Oh, there it is. It is dark. I don't know why it didn't look dark on here. Darcy Decker. Watch this. There we go. There we go. Now she's dark. She's bold. Okay. Call these people and ask them. Tim Davis over in Oregon, if you were looking for in the Northwest. Tim knows lots of ministries over there. He has a regional conference. I'm going to be with him this fall again. There's his email. Chris Ritaco. Oh, who's that? She's right here. She knows people in this area of the country. Okay? Find them. Check the yellow pages in your phone book. I used to do this as a singles pastor. I'd open that phone book. I'd look under ministries, churches, singles organizations, and clubs. There's lots of them there. You'll find some. You might be surprised. You'll find some you didn't know about. Check the general church list in the phone book. Large churches. I used to call Presbyterian, Baptist, Nazarene. Hi, this is Dennis Frank from First Assembly here in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm just wondering if you have a single adult ministry in your church, because it's a large church. Oh yeah, we do. When do they meet? I'll show you what we asked. He's coming up here. Call large influential churches and ask these things. Do you have a group for young adults or single parents? Divorce recovery. See, be proactive. Just call them. Ask them. What churches in your area have a good reputation? They have influence. Ask, what's the target age of the group? Is it a young adult group, 18 to 35? Or is it a single adult group, 40, 35 and up? When do you meet? Do you have a leader? Is it paid leader or paid staff or volunteer leader? Could I have the phone number? I want to call them and get acquainted. Go to coffee with them. Oh, okay, sure. They'll tell you. If you just establish that you are interested in building a ministry. Okay? Comments, questions so far? Making sense to you? Build a relationship with the director, this person who you get to know. On the phone, establish a personal relationship. Meet with them. Go to lunch. Develop a relationship. I'm not talking about the accountability one now. I'm talking about a friendship where you learn from each other just as leaders. And because you share. I get so many calls and emails from people that don't have anybody in their area that can help them. And so they're calling me, and I want to help them, but I can only help so many. I'm one guy. And when you have 2,000 ministries in the country calling you, see, so I want to help you to find and network with others. Here are some ideas. Look at this. I used to do this. Invite the leader to speak at your ministry. Oh, but Dennis, he's Four Square or Assemblies of God, and we're Methodists, and I don't know if we should have him. Ah, so what?
We all preaching the same Jesus.
Same Jesus, and we're not preaching doctrine at their singles groups. They're not going to come and say, well, I don't like your doctrine of this. Hey, they're going to come and they're going to teach something that relates to your ministry and your people. Let them come to your, and let them come to your leadership meeting and present something. Or you go visit theirs. Visit their people. Visit their leadership team. Man, you can learn a lot. I used to do this. Plan a combined event. July 4th is coming up. A couple months away. Great time to have a big picnic. Area-wide picnic with other church single adults. Man, it'd be a great time. You got 3 months to plan it, 2.5 months to plan it. You could do it. You could do it with other churches. You could do a retreat together. You could do an outreach to the rest homes or to the Salvation Army. You can do it with other people, other groups. See, give your people a bigger vision. Here's some ideas for a planned combined event. Then let's take some comments. Plan a social event together. A party. Plan an educational seminar with another leader from another church. A retreat, spiritual retreat. A leadership retreat. An outreach downtown to the homeless. Plan something with another group. What do you think of this so far? Do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Well, another
questions.
Comment.
Okay.
I don't know if you're aware of Hartford Seminary. It's doing a really massive study of mega churches. And they have a link you can go to, and they have a link to all the different churches that's on their list, the mega churches, and you know, mm-hmm. each state, and you can kind of like go through that, and it kind of like breaks down by city, and just click on their websites and see if they got singles ministry. That's another mm-hmm. tactic you can use.
Good, good.
Wonderful.
You energize to do something. You go to your pastor next day, and he shows no interest. And in order for you to do something within the church, it must be approved by the church board. How do you handle that?
questions for the CD, in case you didn't hear the question, how do you get your pastor to support what you are trying to do? Well, let me just show you something quickly. In one of our classes, I taught some of that stuff, Lester. I'll show you a little bit of it here. Pitfalls. It was last session right here. Here we go. Obtaining support. If you don't obtain support, you're going to fail. So let me show you some ideas of obtaining support since you brought, here it is, since you brought it up. And by the way, this is all, we have some leftovers of these out there on the table. Pitfalls, it was called. Pitfalls, you can pick one up. Are these pitfalls? Okay, good. Give them one. Thank you. Here we go. Lack of pastor and board support. Here we go. Here's some ideas. Meet with your pastor every 3 months. Make an appointment. Meet with him. Show him some of these materials that you're getting here at this weekend. Books, PowerPoints. Show him the need. Show him the demographics. Talk to him. Take a single adult friend with you who says, you know, there's nothing in the church for me, Pastor. I want to come here, but I need some ministry opportunities. Take a male and female with you to that pastor. Go to lunch with him. Give him some materials. Ask for help. Ask him to come and speak at one of your classes or events. Open his eyes. It'll open his eyes if he comes and speaks. Interview the board members at a meeting or a class of your group. I talked about that quite a bit. Where you ask them to come with his or her spouse, and you interview them, and they stay the whole time for the whole night, the whole class, and opens their eyes, to the need, to the single adults. They're looking around and they say, oh man, I didn't realize that Dawn comes here. Oh yeah, I forgot. She's never been married or she's been divorced. I forgot that. Oh, and then there's Greg over there. Yeah, I forgot. He lost his spouse last year to death and he comes here. Who are all these other people? I don't even know these people. The pastor needs to have his eyes opened. So, here's some other ideas. Send your mailings to them, your flyers. They got to, just don't even ask them. Just put them on the mailing list. Just send it to them. Emails. And then ask them, Pastor, did you get my email? Oh, yeah, I did. How come you're sending it to me? Well, because you're a leader and I think you should know what's going on. Oh, yeah, I should, yeah. See? Send your email, send your mailings, talk to them in the lobby at the church. Lester, you're on the board. Did you get my newsletter last month? Did you look at it? Did you see what we're doing this month? Well, no, I haven't looked at it yet. Please take a look and see the activities we have going on, the speakers we have coming. Okay. See? Question them. Hold them accountable. Maybe I'm the only guy that does this, but I'm telling you, you've got to be proactive. You've got to go after these people. Your pastor cannot understand everything that's going on in your ministry or even the need. You have to educate him. Okay? So those are some quick ideas. What else have you done? Anything to help Lester here? What have you done to educate your pastor?
Well, one thing I tried last year wasn't too successful, was worth a shot. You know, especially since he was in Greensboro at that time, and, you know, I lived in Charlotte. I emailed all our elders in the church about the pre-conference thing. I think get a copy of one of the elders that was in St. Paul. So got your conversation. That's about the part of the way I got the conference. Mm-hmm.
You'll come up with ideas, and boy, we have to educate these people because they do not know. Well, let me ask you, do you know everything about children's ministry? What's going on in your church? No. So see, if I was a children's pastor and I want you to know about children's ministry, I'm going to try and educate you about children's ministry. Sometimes we get an attitude and, well, the pastor doesn't know. He doesn't know what's going on. Well, what have you done to help him know? What are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, well, Temple 101 to indoctrinate people into the church. And Chris makes sure she is there to tell people about and make sure that we meet those singles as they come to hear about the church. You know, comes and says, hey, you know, we have singles on the street. We do these kinds of things. We have First Fridays and we know we play games and we do these kinds of things. And she makes sure that she gets in the door with those folks first. And the pastor's there. He's the one that does the class. So he knows what we're doing.
Good.
And keeps them involved in seeing what we're doing.
For the CD, she was saying that they make sure they have someone at the what'd you call it? The
101 is a class.
101, a newcomer's class, a visitor, for new people. Yeah, new members, yes. To talk about the ministry, what they're doing. You can plan a combined event, like I said, a retreat, a seminar, with other groups in your area. And again, don't worry about doctrine. You're not going to teach doctrine. You're going to teach life issues. Okay? The benefits. Here are some benefits. Look at this. Greater vision is gained. Learning and growth happens. The competitive attitude is broken. We're not out to see how many do you have in your group, how many do you have in your church, how many do you have in your... That's not important. What's important is, can we help each other? Can we learn together? Unity is portrayed. Man, the pastors and adults and churches see the unity. Plus, you have the ability to do bigger things, better things. In San Jose, California, we started, I was at a church called Bethel Church, and we had a ministry called Single Life Ministries. And that was a big church with many things going on for singles. However, I still saw the need to network. And so I called three other big churches, got acquainted with their singles pastors, three of them. They were not Assemblies of God. One was independent, one was Baptist, and one was something else. And we got together, the four of us guys, started having lunch together every 2 months. And then after a few lunches, we realized, you know, I said, we really should do something together. You know, New Year's Eve is coming. What do you guys do for New Year's Eve for your single adults? Well, we have a party, we have this. I said, why don't we do it together? Why don't we do a New Year's Eve party together, and instead of having 100, we'll have 400. Wow! We did. We started a planning team. We got some of our single adults on the planning team. They planned it. We did not plan it. Single pastors did not plan it. These are big boys and girls. They can plan it. And we gave them some ideas and they planned it. They took off. We had 425 people come. Woo! And you know what? We charged $5 to get in plus a plate of food. Healthy food or unhealthy food? Both. Snacks, chips, apples, pie, brownies, everything. Popcorn, pickles, everything. We had a huge table of food. People loved it because they can get what they want. And they only had to pay $5 to get in. And with that $5, we hired a band. We played some games. We had some decorations that we bought. New Year's Eve, 8 to midnight, when single adults are looking for something to do. And if you don't give them something wholesome to do, something good, they might do something that's not so good for them. See, you can do it. New Year's Eve is a great time. Another one is Valentine's. Your church have Valentine's days, Valentine's banquets, sweetheart banquets. Singles don't go to sweetheart banquets.
Yeah, they don't have fun.
No. So why don't you do an alternative thing with people in your area, with churches in your area? You could do a single adult event. One of the best things we did in Montana was a swim party and what do we call it? Luau at the Holiday Inn. Holiday Inn. And we charged people $10 back then in the 80s. It's probably 20 now. And you bring your swimsuits and you have a swim party in a luau. Man, it was fun. We had 100 and some people come to that event. They loved it. So, I'm saying you can do this. You need to network with other groups. Okay. Before we do this last little section, questions, comments you want to make about the last, before we do this last part.
We're trying to be a more diverse group as far as race goes, and we're not very successful at it. It's kind of like it's us and them type of thing, and we hate it. And we think they hate it too.
Yeah.
We just don't know how to really combine that. And I don't know what the reasons are. I just know the reason. I don't know all the reasons are why it's so hard to get together and actually have a group that's more diverse.
Do you have a lot of diversity in your area of other ethnic groups? And races?
Yeah, we have some.
Some.
We have a couple very large African American churches, mm-hmm. and we have a couple, smaller of churches as well. So it's just kind of hard. And I've got friends in both, just kind of, and they invite me to their stuff, but we don't have a lot of
mix.
Other people that we can send together a lot.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say she probably should get with the leadership of whatever those groups are. You know, to make friends with people for them to, you know, because sometimes it's just a trust issue. Mm-hmm. You know, to be honest, it's just a trust issue. So just get to know, you know, get phone numbers and even write emails back and forth. Hey, you know, I really want to get to know you. I don't have any ulterior motives. You know, I really want to become friends with you. I want our churches to start doing stuff together. And, you know, once the trust is built with you and them, then everybody else is like, oh, okay, they're probably cool, you know. Because, you know, of course, down here is going to look to the head, and if the head's doing it, then everybody else is going to follow. So, yeah, you got to build a trust with
go visit those other churches and ministries and sit in on their groups.
Sit in their groups.
Be part of them.
Yeah.
And build a few relationships and then start saying what you're saying, Don.
Mm-hmm.
We want to really get to know each other and work together. And so that's one idea. Any other ideas you have? Anybody else? How about having someone of a minority race in your group get up and give a life share, give a testimony. Put some people in front that you're trying to reach. If you want to reach Mexicans or black or Asian, put some of them up front and give a little testimony, a little life share. Here's why I come to this group, and here's what it means to me, and I've learned and grown, and boy, I've made some great friends here. You know, put them up front. Showcase some people that you want to showcase. Put them in leadership, the few that you do have, if they're quality enough. Whether they're white, black, red, yellow, purple, doesn't matter. You know? What? Any other idea? We need to do this, yeah.
Charlotte Bond, one of the guys in leadership, he had a real heart for Darfur. And he went over there and took some pictures and selling the book. And all the proceeds of it, the profits went to build a well over there. But anyway, something like that, that, you know, affects Africa. You know, I'm sure that there'd be quite a few African Americans to show up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of mission thing or
social justice thing.
Mission.
Everybody can.
Yeah.
Everybody can get in.
Yeah, and don't have unrealistic expectations. In other words, if, for instance, in Springfield, where I live in Missouri, our metro area is 300,000 people. The shopping district, the market is 300,000. Out of that 300,000, we have about 10,000 Mexicans, maybe 10,000 African American, maybe 4,000. I'm guessing this one now, 4,000 Asians. So I cannot expect to have in a group of 100 people 25 African Americans, 25 whites, 25 Asian, you know, because we don't have those numbers to support that percentage wise. So don't have unrealistic expectations. Well, this last section is helping your denominational leaders. How many of you are in a denomination? Presbyterian, I'm Assemblies of God. What are you ladies?
Pentecostal Holiness.
Non-denominational?
Baptist.
Baptist. Okay. Well, for those of us in a denomination, or for those of you who want to help denominational leaders see the need, here's some ideas. Be willing to educate your leaders. Gather information like this, demographics, articles showing the need. On our site, we again print these articles. They're here for you. We have hundreds of them that you can print. And short, 1, 2, 3 pages. We have a few of them out here. I put out here on the table. Roseanne can show you where. But use them. You know, give them out. Give a book and show the need. Educate these people. Testimonies. Take people with you, like we were telling Lester. Refer to existing groups. Meet with your district person or your state. Even just call them. Do you have a ministry, a district-wide, statewide ministry for single adults? No, we don't. Well, can I help you start one? Can we do one? You know, I have on my site, on our site, we have sample job descriptions, two of them, for statewide, for district and statewide. I have one called a job description for a coordinator and one for a team. How to build a team, how to recruit a coordinator. What does a coordinator do statewide?
What should he or she do? What does a team do? I give them out to statewide leaders. So, this start a team, suggest potential people. See, there you go. Give a sample job description. There it is. Plan an event, annual retreat. These are some things we've done over the years. These are some things. There's my book. So, those are some things on networking. And there's our sites, young adult site, single adult site, book. Feel free to use what's on our sites, ladies and gentlemen, please. There's so much there. Good. Thank you. Have you? Oh, yeah. And lastly, if you want to come on a cruise with us, it's a great vacation for single adults. Pick up a flyer out there on the tables and a free CD of the promo. You can print other flyers from this. It's not a video, this is a promo, flyers like this and others. And we have about 30 cabins left. Well, we sold out the first 150 already because this is our second one with Church of God. So, last week we had 30 left. We probably have fewer than that now because we got more cabins. And the boat raised the price. The ship raised the price on us. So you have to buy. You have to put money down for all those cabins. We put down thousands of dollars hoping that people would come. And we took a risk. And they did come. So now we got 30 more. So we can take another 60 people with two to a cabin. And it's going to be fun. It's a great vacation. Let's pick one up. All right. God bless you. See Roseanne out there at the table? She's got some things.
Thank you.
If you want our monthly leadership email, sign up on this right here. Monthly leadership.
I did.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for all your help.
You're welcome. Open that door and put that... Greg, would you put that thing under it there?
What thing?
Right there.
Oh,
thank you. Would you girls, ladies, help me pick up any leftover handouts? Would you? And just stack them here on the table.
Let's see, is this one?
Yeah, that's. No, that was pitfalls. That's another one. Models. Right. She has some out there. No. We're just ending. Yes, sir.
The man.
We are ending. Right on the floor. There's one. Thank you. And then, if you don't mind taking these out to the table there. Yeah. If you have friends you want to give those to, feel free. And if you give these out. Okay. And then if you will give these to Roseanne, she'll put them in the zipper bag. She'll put them in the zipper. Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll start packing up.
All right. Can I get your...
You got it right here.
All right.
Thank you.
Good stop.